You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on the Great Eastern.
Quickly, the virus begins to infect the cells of human society.
He's out. Is it something? He's one of them. What did they call him?
Newfoundland industrialist and swindler.
You want to give her a go?
Calling all Canadians, attention mes amis. Icelanders at home and abroad, bless you. My fellow townies, how's she going by? I'm Paul Moss. On today's show, the gold, silver, and bronze in the one-man luge go to Burnt Bear Head. Art on the walls, art in the halls, art is all around. And money, 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 money. All this for you, with me on the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. Canada did not have a medal finish in the one-man luge competition at Nagano. However, this nation has a fair claim to some of that gold, silver, and bronze, for all the top competitors were clinging desperately to a rocketing sled of Newfoundland origin, designed and manufactured by Max Monchy, the luge man of Burnt Bear Head.
There, now just feel the finish on that.
Just feel. Go on, feel.
Smooth, what?
Smooth.
Well, my son, that feels like sandpaper to these fingertips. A few years ago now, Paul.
Oh, I'm a binge drinker, eh?
Mm. Yeah. Well, several years ago, I had the DTs. And even the slightest touch, boy, the slightest sensation was magnified. So even like a microscopic nick goes through me now like a buzzsaw.
When I'm finished with these barrels, Steve, they'll be so smooth.
Not even like oil. No, sir. They'll be sanded so smooth, you'll be like they're not even there.
Yeah.
Oh, once Max gets an idea into his head. And when he lasts a job, he's always at something. I'm happy to see him, I suppose. Drinks and all. Not all the time. He's one of them, what did they call him?
Binge drinkers?
That's it. Binge drinkers.
Well, how did the idea of making Olympic luge just come into your head?
Well, I'm not doing anything else, you know, and I saw the luge on the television there. When I was youngster now, boy, we used to toboggan down the hill out there. You can see it through the window there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
Boy, we could get up some wicked pace. I say easily in the range of the crowd here in the Olympics. And I figured, you know, where I'm out here in the shop a lot, I'd put my hand to making a luge.
Well, it's here in front of us now, but could you describe it?
Well, the frame there, now that's an alloy of, I'm guessing here now, some metal, basically, a reclining lawn chair, pal. And the straps to cradle the luge are modern synthetic from the large salt beef bucket there, and the runners are barrel staves. Now, that's my technological advance, the staves.
It's a modification, then, of the sled that you used as a child.
Had to conform to Olympic regulations, you understand. But it's basically what we would call a kidney divil.
Max, why don't you make a two-man luge?
That's not natural, Pa. That's not what God intended. No.
My name is Jack Keeping, and I'm the mayor of Burnt Bear Head here in Dunshee Cove, Newfoundland. When Max first came to us looking for support, we were skeptical. But when we went up the mountain and watched the first trial runs, we were sold.
So, Mr. Keeping, were you convinced that he knew what he was doing?
Well, he's very handy.
Yeah, but it's a big leap from recreational tobogganing to the competitive luge.
You've not seen the kidney devil come down the mountain, have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my friend, it's something swift.
I remember seeing him on the old kidney devil when we were kids. I had a crush on Max back then.
Sweet. So a childhood romance ended up with you two married.
And I got knocked up.
Now, Max, how do we get up the mountain?
Well, brother, there's no other way than taking Shanksmere.
What? Up there?
Come on, Paul's grand day for a walk.
Oh, what a view from up here, eh?
Oh, it's beautiful.
And I guess you built your own test course.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty well a knockoff now, the old Hinsbrook course, Paul. There's a few differences, though. This one has 17 curves, and the gradient is 3 degrees steeper.
Ah, 3 degrees, doesn't seem like much.
And this is natural ice, so it's not as consistent as your artificially cool track in some of the modern runs. Track gets a bit greasy at number 7. You want to give her a go?
What? On the sled?
Yeah.
Down the hill?
Yeah.
I don't know, Max. It looks a bit dangerous there now.
Yeah, there's only one thing now. You want us to remember whether the upcoming turn is left or right, so as to get your lean just so.
Yeah, well, we're totally unfamiliar with the course, Max.
Easy now, Pop. All the curves right are the even numbers.
Right.
Until you get to 7, which is also right.
Right.
So then it's even numbers left. 6, 7 is double right.
Right. Well, that seems pretty straightforward. Are you sure it's okay?
Lie down now.
Well, I suppose that's the point of the whole exercise.
Yes.
Okay. Can you just give me the microphone there and...
Yeah, that's good.
I'll just tie the cable there and...
All right.
Here. Testing. Won't you... Jason, Max, it looks pretty steep. I wonder if it's a good idea.
One, two, three, here you go.
Your healthcare system. Is it a healthy free market adjustment, or is it bad medicine? Join me, Jerome Granger, for a special investigative report as Wearing the Wire calls in sick and makes an appointment with Dr. Billings.
Help me. I'm bleeding.
Will you shut up?
I think this is serious.
You want to see serious? That man over there is dead. And see here? This is flesh-eating bacteria. Don't get your pits hot, buddy.
I've been here 12 hours. I feel faint.
My vacation plans? Scalpel, please.
Aruba. For the scuba.
Suction, please. And, they've got a couple of lovely golf courses down there, too.
Grant, please. How are the whores?
Not bad. Hey, wait, what's this? Well, 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 if we don't have a hidden microphone... Bob, do you want to lighten up on the anesthetic there for a second? Mr. Granger! Wake up, Mr. Granger!
It's not much fun without anesthetic, is it, Mr. Investigative Reporter?
Scalpel, please.
The big one!
Unfinished Business. The new four-tier healthcare system. This Wednesday at 8, a Wearing the Wire exclusive with me, Jerome Granger. Only on BCM.
Good news! Good noise! The local constabulary has apprehended the alleged perpetrators of the now infamous BCN break-in. Several people, including a couple of Cuban nationals, are being held for questioning in the affair. The police did locate our purloined pile of contest entries, untouched and complete. And though the coppers held them for a couple of days as evidence, they have been released to us in time for this. So, listen up and point your trusty earholes at the radio. Once more, and at long last, it's time for the most thrilling sonic game show on the long wave. What's that noise from Newfoundland? Master of the levers, Hollis Duffett. Pull the right one now.
$175.
There it is, the sound. And here it is, the familiar mail sack, full to overflowing with loving entries. In I go, and here amidst the envelopes and emails and cartons I pull out this. It's an email and with a little evidence tag on it there. It's all the way from Orleans, Ontario. We seem to have a bit of a fan base in Orleans. Anyway, Val and Carrie Jensen of Orleans write, "Dear Paul, we think the noise from Newfoundland is the sound of a load of cod being dumped on a scale at a fish processing plant. We think probably St. John's. Thinking of you and hoping no infections result from your recent CRTC-induced tattoo ordeal." Now, if you weren't here a couple of weeks ago, you missed me getting my dermal branding. The guy was supposed to tattoo things to do on my wrist, but he was so hungover he needled in things to do. I'm looking at it now. I'll get that after the show. Anyway, Val and Kerry continue. "Thanks for the many thinks you've done, sinking your praises, the Jensens, Orleans, Ontario. Hollis, what sayest thou?" out the fireworks. We have another winner from Orleans. Yes, Val and Carrie Jensen. That is indeed the sound of fish being removed from a container and weighed on their way to another container. Though I believe it's a fish farm and not a fish plant. But close enough, obviously, says Quizmaster Hollis Duffett, and you will soon be the recipient of a beautiful Great Eastern T-shirt. Long-time listeners know that the contest just keeps rolling on in the wake of a correct guess. Get your pencil and paper ready. I'll give you the contest address right after we hear the new noise from Newfoundland. There ain't nothing like home-style noise. If you know that as something, let us know what it is you think it is. Write us at What's That Noise from Newfoundland, care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. Or email us, greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Music, music, music. Just the tonic one needs under these, or under any conditions. From our sister North Atlantic country, Sweden, comes Hedning Garna with Ivatan. Osborne Art Gallery, high atop the hills of Robin Hood Bay, had its official opening last evening. The gala was, by all accounts, a very glamorous affair.
one to which this host of Newfoundland's cultural magazine was inexplicably not invited. Nonetheless, and will you with no bitterness, I today tour the facility and its collection of Newfoundland art, unencumbered by the crush of gawkers, and accompanied by head curator Percival Rocksmith. Bit of a head-on this morning, Mr. Rocksmith?
I confess to being a little off the morn.
All you English people drink too much, don't you?
Yes, 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 we do. Yes, yes indeed.
Well, let's begin.
Oh, very good. After you, after you. Now, this gallery was built to hold the extravagant collection of Newfoundland art donated to the province by the late Sir Peyton Osborne.
And both endowments are the source of some controversy?
Yes. Sir Peyton was the last of a long line of prosperous Osbornes, Newfoundland industrialists and swindlers. But the bulk of the Osborne estate went into this marvelous facility.
And look here, in the foyer of the Grand Bank Concourse, we see what must certainly be amongst the most famous of all Newfoundland paintings.
Yes, yes, and we thought this magnificent statement should be the first work that visitors to the gallery saw. It's Fintan O'Mara's Archbishop Mullally and Attendants.
Now, this painting is open to a broad range of interpretations. Many of the clerics depicted in the background are shown as baboons, and though I know many disagree, tell me you don't see someone up under the Archbishop's vestments there.
Well, John Badger has observed the Archbishop was a terrible drunk, as well as a practicing homosexual. So there is some conjecture that somebody actually propped a chair underneath him. It may be the chair that's underneath the Archbishop's robes there.
Maybe. Moving up in time now, some work from the brief period of socialist realism in the 40s and the 50s.
Yes, and the most famous piece here, Joseph Smallwood Leads the People of Newfoundland into Confederation by Brendan Curtis.
It's a heavily built Smallwood front and center, his shirt open to expose a tightly muscled frame, and the people of the island depicted as children. There, in the background...
Sheep.
And still further in the background, a harbor or a cove dotted with burning boats. What's the significance there, Percy?
I hadn't noticed that before. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, look at that. Oh, there's a lesson. You see something new every time you gaze upon great art.
A great lesson.
Good heavens.
Now, this is my favorite period in the history of our visual arts, the modern. Paul Vincent's mammoth, 500 gallons of orange marine enamel.
And Vincent among the major figures in the super maximalist movement. It's an awe-inspiring canvas. Mm-hmm.
Very orange. And standing, this must be 6 stories high.
7 stories originally. So to fit it into the gallery, we had to saw the top of the painting right off. Mm-hmm.
Well, doesn't in any way diminish its impact.
Oh, well, tell that to Vincent. He's still very upset.
These artists. The smallest little thing, eh? You've also endeavored to present some record of our performance art. And this display here?
It's a videotape of Ron Kosher's experimental work.
I remember. He used to sneak up on people.
Yes, that's right.
Is it art?
Oh, yes, yes.
No argument from me, Purse. I love this stuff. Oh, and here he is. Ned! Ned! Do you think he can hear me?
It's a subject of theoretical debate.
I should say that I'm looking at the vegetative form of performance artist Ned Brocklehurst, who in his final piece, Ne Plus Ultra, had his cerebral cortex removed. I was there, you know.
What a privilege.
It was, I believe this, the very greatest thing I have ever seen. Ned! Ned!
Hello, I'm Rita Malloy with some BCN community announcements. The residents of Javelin Crescent are asked to attend a meeting concerning the proposed construction of a women's correctional facility in the area. If you have concerns over the erection of the Lilith Jail, please attend the meeting in the Teacher's Lounge of the Hanover Private School this Sunday afternoon. Champers and canapés to follow. Rabbittown Women's Darts is holding its annual fundraising dinner and dance on Friday night. Get out your halberd and mace, don your cape and wimple, because the theme this year is medieval madness. The evening begins with a silent auction. Among the items on the block are a case of 1961 Chateau Latour, courtesy of Dusty Powell, a set of wooden dentures alleged to have belonged to Louis Riel, and some fun French style, a weekend in Saint-Pierre-et-Miquelon with BCN's own Ben Trovato. For tickets, call Winnie at the Rabbittown Community Center. Better Citizens of St. John's meet tomorrow at 3 in the General Hague Hall of the City Annex. Topics for discussion include what to do with elderly citizens driving below the speed limit and the release of the monthly report on road salt quality analysis. Also on the agenda, Pierce Jackman's informal survey on handicapped parking usage. He concludes that many users aren't that crippled. Better Citizens of St. John's tomorrow. Those are some community announcements from the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, serving the community for over 60 years.
The economy, our lives, the world. Should we be worried? Joining me to discuss the issue is Dr. Marcus Vendel. Dr. Vendel is professor of alternative economics at the Green University in Tutzing, Germany. He's here in town visiting his brother Klaus, who by coincidence happens to be my dentist.
Thank you for having me in.
Is it safe?
I'm sorry.
That's just a little joke. Now, Dr. Vendel, you've won the Nobel Prize in economics and everything, yes. But your work paints a pretty bleak picture of our future.
Well, most economists assume that capitalism moves in a cyclical pattern, in waves. I have shown, however, that the movement of the capitalist economy is exactly that of a virulent disease.
Intriguing. So capitalism is like a virus?
No, not like a virus. Capitalism is a virus.
Oh, come on.
Think of the planet Earth as the host body.
Mm-hmm.
The capitalist virus appears in Europe in the 15th century.
Hand in hand with syphilis.
Quickly, the virus begins to infect the cells of human society. The resources, the labor, values, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The capitalist virus reproduces itself within these cells, uses them parasitically, turns them also into capital. The virus becomes more vital, more virulent. It spreads throughout the host body like so.
Ooh.
And the virus will not die. Well, not until, you know.
Not until what?
The host is dead.
Well, as a host myself, I can certainly see the problem there.
Yes.
I guess the biggest problem I have with your analysis is that it's such a downer. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of the whole green approach. Think sparingly, act naturally, and all that. And I do whenever possible.
Good.
But, I mean, what are you going to tell some Chinese guy who's been breaking his back for centuries just to get a shot at a combustion engine? Sorry, bub. Keep on peddling? I don't know. I think we're just going to have to make the old greenhouse as comfortable as possible.
Well, that's one approach, but I hope that we in the West can inoculate ourselves against the virus by reducing our desire for material gratification.
Oh, yeah, right. I'd pay to see that. Just how do you propose to reduce these materialist desires?
Education.
Sorry. No offense, doctor.
No, that's right.
That's just, well, education. I don't know.
Okay.
I've often wondered how people like Jacques Cousteau and David Suzuki and yourself feel, painstakingly presenting these eloquent arguments about how human greed and short-sightedness are destroying the basis for decent human life on the planet, and realizing that really no one is paying any attention to you at all. I mean, how does that feel?
Well, I don't know how to describe it exactly, but I'm feeling it right now.
Oh, I apologize. You want to do some PR for your book or anything like that?
Well, there's not much point. I mean, it's in German.
All right. No English edition planned?
My publisher says there's no market.
Oh, no market for an economist. That's funny.
Very funny.
Still, you'd think that with a Nobel Prize under your belt, you could, say, you wouldn't happen to have the prize on you by any chance, would you?
Well, I have the medal.
You think I could see it?
All right. Be careful.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Medal for the prize in economic sciences. That's beautiful. Who's this guy who looks like Harlan Sanders?
That's Alfred Nobel.
Ah, makes sense. Now, I've heard there's quite a market for these metals in the U.S., eh?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Collectors pay hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of... You are pulling my leg again.
Gently, gently. Dr. Marcus Wendel, thank you so much for your time. Yes. Best of luck saving the human race. And thanks for letting me fondle that medal. It's amazing. Do you think they have a Nobel Prize for broadcasting, Dr. Wendel?
I'm sure they do. Could I have it back now, please?
Serving the island for over 60 years, BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
Some days you just want it to stop. Our inundation by what is determined as news. The pornography of celebrity and our prurient, voyeuristic interest in it. Fie that what would bestir our emotions would be worthwhile concern with art, science, thought, honest discourse, and true compassion. The vigilance of nincompoops and the attention deficit plagued lackeys of megalomaniacal, mono-minded media magnates keep before readers chimeras and kitsch, red herrings, entertainments at the best of times, and emotion-bereft, googly-eyed gawk-fests at worst. Where is the real news? When do we hear what is happening to people? Not to the libido-crazed, alcohol-fueled hand puppets wiggled with an erect middle finger by the backroom cabal. Not the little carrot stories keeping us running away from the cart of what is truly important. But to the real people. People like you and me who have become pawns for those passing go in a giant game of monopoly. Aliens, Elvis, women giving birth to animals, animals giving birth to kitchen appliances, diet fads, zinc, the new echinacea. This is the stuff that speaks to me. These are the important issues. Where are they in the mainstream media? Why do we always get the daisy chain of constitutional debate and the sexual peccadilloes of quasi-elected officials constantly paraded before us? Who cares? I got my own peccadilloes to worry about. And then there's television sports. But the big story never makes it to the headlines. They don't even make it to the police blotter. I want to know who's behind the break-ins here at the BCN. Who's covering up that story? What's their game? Be careful, listener. Be very careful. Eastern puffs its way live to you each week at this time via the power of coal. Hollis Duffett is our technician of choice, and Ish Lundrigan is the director of radio at the BCN. Write us often, greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca or 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. Check our website, www.greateastern.cbc.ca. It has mucho history, bios, photos, and sound. The Great Eastern is rebroadcast every Saturday evening on Radio 2 of the CBC service and on the shortwave service of Radio Canada International. My name is Paul Moth. Join me again next week for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.